I think most of us know that fasting is in the Bible. And we know it's all over the place. We know that it shows up in the Old Testament close to 20 times. And a lot of people we know fasted. Moses, David, Elijah, Esther, famous women and men fasted at different points in the Old Testament. Sometimes it was when they were facing danger. Sometimes it's when they were seeking forgiveness or they wanted a result from the Lord. They wanted to be near Him. And we've read some of those stories where people fasted in order to be more intimate with God or to seek results. And sometimes we might think, well, that was just one of those Old Testament things that we don't do anymore. But we've been rooting these practices in Jesus. And if nothing else, we can look at Jesus and see instructions about fasting. Jesus taught about fasting. In the middle of his most famous teaching, as he talks about prayer and giving, Jesus says, when you fast. He doesn't say, for the special ones of you who might choose to do this. He says, when you fast. And then he goes on to give instructions. Don't be obvious about it when you fast. Don't try to make yourself look emaciated. Don't look weird when you fast. God knows what you're trying to do. So you don't have to be a show-off about it. No, I'm so hungry, but I'm doing this for the Lord. But he doesn't try to convince them to do so. He just gives them instructions for how to do it when they do it. So he teaches about this. Jesus also practiced fasting. So he is baptized, and in between his baptism and his temptation in the wilderness, Jesus fasts for 40 days and nights. Again, that's not where I'm headed with you, don't worry. 40 days and nights, and after that, he was hungry. Well, of course. Just as a matter of fact, to prepare for what he was going to face, he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. So Jesus teaches about this, and he practices it. So going back to his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, when you give, and we know all that. He says, when you pray, and we know all that. And then he says, when you fast. And I look at this list of parallel phrases, and I look at current Christian practice, and it's like the Sesame Street song, you know? One of these things is not like the other. I've heard lots of teaching, and I've practiced giving. I've heard lots of teaching about, and I have practiced prayer. Fasting, not so much. Not so much. In fact, Richard Foster, who's one of the premier writers on spiritual disciplines, said he researched and he couldn't find a single Christian book published about fasting from the years 1860 to 1951. It's just fallen off the radar. Why is that? Probably a few reasons that fasting is not as quote-unquote popular. I mean, the main one is, like, who likes to do it? But there's some other, maybe more serious reasons. There have been abuses in church history for some of these practices, some of these works that involve, like, self-harm and things like that and hurting oneself. And so sometimes this gets lumped into that when people have gone way overboard in their spiritual practices. So that might be a reason for it. Another reason is we have convinced ourselves that if we don't have three large meals a day, something's wrong. And it might be another reason that we don't fast is that we've separated body and mind when it comes to our faith. That faith is a cognitive exercise. It's something we think about and believe, but our body has nothing to do with that. And that's Plato speaking, not Scripture. So there's a lot of reasons we haven't done it. But Jesus assumes that we will. In Matthew chapter 9, a group of disciples from John the Baptist show up to Jesus. And they ask him, they say, hey, you know, how come we and our disciples fast? And the Pharisees, they're over there fasting. They're doing these spiritual things. But you and your disciples, you're not fasting. What's up with that? And here's the answer that Jesus gives them. He says, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. So Jesus kind of sets up these different periods of history. Before Jesus, people were fasting. And then as Jesus comes, there's feasting. But then after he leaves, there will be fasting again. And of course, at the end, there will be another round of feasting. But Jesus says, well, we're not going to fast while I'm here, because one of the reasons they fasted was is anticipation of me. And I'm here, nobody needs to fast, but when I leave, they will fast, Jesus says. We are in that in-between period, and so fasting is appropriate. And the early church thought fasting was appropriate. When the church in Antioch is sending off Paul and Barnabas, they fast. When Paul and Barnabas show up to appoint elders, there's fasting. And then we know from early Christian teaching documents that the very first Christians were fasting on Wednesday and Friday of just about every week. They practiced this. And only in the modern era has it sort of fallen out of fashion to do that. Now, I think most of us don't have a problem with fasting, and we know that it's important, and we know that people have. And maybe once or twice for a particularly big thing, we might have fasted. But most of us are not opposed to it. We don't do it that often, and we might just need a little nudge in the right direction with some realistic advice on how to do this. I want to give you a few things, and then I'm going to ask one of our experts in medicine. Dr. Vivian Jones is going to join me on stage and talk about fasting from sort of a medical and wellness perspective. But let me tell you some things from Scripture quickly. What would fasting be exactly? Defined particularly, it is abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Now, some people will use fasting to talk about other things like media intake. And there's sort of a disagreement among people who write about these things as to whether you should use fasting for anything besides food. Now, I don't take a strong position on that. It is true that in Scripture, fasting is always about food and drink. If you want to use fasting to talk about other things, that's great. However, don't do that as a way to say, I only do these other things instead of ever fasting from food or drink. That makes sense? You can use fasting however you want, but don't use it only to talk about other things so that you don't ever touch the food and drink aspect of it. And why do people fast? Spiritually, fasting reveals what controls us. We don't live by bread alone, so we have increased attention to God. Maybe we're responding to big moments. We're seeking outcomes. And related to that, then, when would we fast? Most of the time when we fast, we're seeking a certain outcome, healing or forgiveness, intimacy with God, and so we fast. But as one writer reminds us, fasting in Scripture is usually as a result of what he calls a sacred moment. So we're prompted to fast by illness or sin or some big moment, death, sin, all these things, that's the prompting. Now, I don't put this up here to give you a formula. David fasted and his child died. So I'm not saying that fasting guarantees you things. If this happens, then fast and you'll always get this. That's not what I mean. But if you want to read more about this, which was fascinating to me, Scott McKnight's book on fasting, I would highly recommend that, because he talks about these different sacred moments and how people responded to them with different kinds of fasting. There might be a normal fast in Scripture where you abstain from food. So that's Jesus being hungry but not thirsty after his fast. There's a partial fast where you abstain from certain kinds of food. So this is Daniel saying, for 3 weeks I didn't have choice food, no meat or wine. And sometimes we see people practice this during Lent when they fast from certain kinds of food for that season. And there is the absolute fast, which is no food or drink. So when Esther realized that her people were under threat, she told Mordecai, don't eat or drink for 3 days or nights. All those are in Scripture. But I want you to hear from someone who can tell you exactly what fasting means and what it does. So I'm going to invite Dr. Vivian Jones up to the stage to talk with me for just a moment. Dr. Jones did her medical school at Meharry Medical College in Nashville. did her residency at Mount Sinai in New York City, has just opened her own clinic, Resplendent Health, in Plano, where she does direct primary care, and is married to Brian, and they have a daughter, Gabby. Welcome, Dr. Jones. Thank you very much. So let's start out with a simple question. What is fasting, and how is it different from just skipping a meal?
So in clinical terms, when we talk about the fasting state, that's when you ingest food, and then your body digests it, it absorbs it, and it stores it. And once that process is complete, you are in the fasting state. But for purposes of our discussion, when we're talking about fasting, we're talking about the restriction of the intake of calories, typically food and beverages.
There are some different kinds of fasting. I mentioned kind of scriptures categories, but in your world, can you talk about the different types of fasting that professionals would speak of?
Sure. So there is short-term fasting, which most of us are familiar with, and then prolonged fasting. Prolonged fasting would be anything more than 8 days. So short-term is a little bit more feasible for most of us, and there's so many different types that are available. I'm going to talk about three today, and they all fall under the category of intermittent fasting. So one type of intermittent fasting is time-restricted fasting, and that would be where you would consume food in an 8-hour interval only, so 8 hours of the day, and then for the other 16 hours, you fast during that time period. So that's the time-restricted one. Alternate day fasting is when you consume most of your food every other day. So on the days that you're not consuming most of your food, you would only consume 25% of your typical caloric intake. And then a third type would be modified fasting, which is prescribed fasting for certain days of the week, similar to what we saw for the first century church, I believe.
Okay. Some of us think of the risks of fasting, so let's talk about that. And of course, we would want to say, if you're concerned about that, you should talk with your own healthcare provider to talk about certain risks that you might have. But in general, can you talk about some of the risks and how we might, or just side effects even, and how we might mitigate those?
So when you are restricting your intake of food, you're restricting your calories, and as such, you're restricting the energy that your body is able to produce during that time period. So you might start noticing such effects as weakness, fatigue. You might be more irritable, so something to keep in mind as you're dealing with family or if you're at work. Some people start having headaches as well, so there's lots of different side effects. And in particular, and I'll talk about this probably a little bit later, if you have chronic medical conditions, you want to pay special attention to get some guidance from your doctor, because during the fasting time period, you can inadvertently cause situations to happen. I'll give an example. If you suffer from gout, in a fasting state, you can trigger a gout exacerbation. So just having a conversation with your healthcare provider can help plan for those types of things.
Yeah, are there other just general categories of people who should probably avoid or be very careful about fasting?
So I would not recommend fasting for individuals who are pregnant or who are lactating. Individuals with a body mass index, that's what we consider to be underweight, so underneath 18.5%, I would not recommend fasting. If you have an eating disorder or have some predispositions for eating disorders, I would also not recommend fasting.
So if I'm fasting, let's talk about how might I expect that to impact my energy levels, my metabolism, my weight management. How does fasting affect that?
So when you are eating normally, your body uses glucose and fatty acids in order to be able to produce energy. In the fasting state, the fatty acids, that's the storage form of your energy, that's what starts to be broken down because glucose is used more readily. And in that state, your body starts to produce something called ketones. So the body can survive, the organs can survive with the use of the ketones, and that's the ketosis state. And so the question was?
Just how fasting will impact me, even if I'm in an otherwise healthy state, what I should expect it to do.
So metabolically, that's what happens to your body. So during that process, it is important to stay hydrated as well. Make sure that you're consuming water. Make sure that you're having the appropriate electrolytes during the time period that you're in your consumption state.
What are some common misconceptions people have about fasting that you've encountered?
Most people think of fasting as only for weight loss purposes, but really there's some other benefits of fasting as well. It can improve your cholesterol levels. It can decrease your fasting glucose levels. There was the misconception, I've read this one, that people associate fasting with quicker cognitive decline. That is an absolute falsehood. There's no data to support that at all. I think what people have noticed is that you might become more irritable during the time period of fasting. You might have headaches, so you might have some difficulty concentrating, but there's no evidence to support cognitive decline because of fasting.
Is there any evidence, I'm just asking for a friend, can you make chips and salsa an exception? I guess what I'm asking, can we find a way around that? Can you fast and still, I don't know, somebody asked me to ask that question. Okay. Let's say I'm a person who, okay, I've heard the preacher talk and that sounds okay, and I've heard the doctor talk. Okay, what are a couple of very next steps for a person who might want to start to incorporate this? So what does it mean to dip your toe in the water?
So the first thing I would do is to do a quick health assessment for yourself. If you have any chronic medical conditions or if you take medications, do have a conversation with your healthcare provider about what fasting would do for your body and how you can do it more safely. Second thing to do would be to pick the preferred method. I mentioned three methods. I happen to think that intermittent fasting is a very feasible alternative for individuals who are looking for something to help incorporate into their lifestyle. Prolonged fasting can be challenging and poses the greater risk. Third step would be to use resources. You know, if you choose to do something such as reduced caloric intake but not complete elimination of food, consider enlisting the support of a nutritionist to help you. And in this age of digital and technology all around us, there are several apps that are also available to help with the process. And then lastly, I'll say this again, please do stay hydrated to decrease those risks that might happen during fasting.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Jones. We appreciate your expertise in helping us. So let me close by just reminding us of this. Fasting is just as much of a spiritual practice as prayer and giving and study. Scripture mentions it often, and we have many tools at our disposal to help us do this. Now, we don't fast for show, and we're not doing this to tell everybody about it. But if you have already been doing this, or if you decide to take some next steps, you can message me privately. People have done that about prayer, and I'm honored by that. And I might ask you permission to share your story, even anonymously, as an encouragement to others. So if you want to talk to me about that, let me know. But I would just say for this week, practice what we started last week, prayer. And seek God's guidance, and see if you feel led to fast for some length of time, so that you can devote your full attention to the Lord, and so that you can be reminded that you are dependent upon Him and not food to sustain your life. Bottom line is this: may all we do, whether we are fasting or whether we are feasting, may all of it bring glory to God. Let's stand and sing.